Blog Talk Radio.
Ball game.
Why did you lose all our cards? I tried my best.
Well, you lost all our cards.
Kids, good.
Go ahead, Doc. Do it.
Let's talk about game one.
know, the inside the park home run that was hit off Harvey in the first inning, I don't feel that that really should have been a inside the park home run. I think they made a much bigger deal out of that than they should have. What do you think about that?
I think it was an absolute joke. I think the ball was a joke. There's no way that that should have been inside the park. I think it was terrible. A terrible, terrible call. Terrible.
Yeah, that was not right. I think it should have been a double and advancing a third on the error and going to home on the throw. But an inside the park home run, I don't think so. Now,
ridiculous.
In that game, though, I thought the Mets did pretty well in that game. I predicted Harvey would give up three runs. He did. They got through to Harvey, and the big kicker, which I think got most Mets fans upset, was the fact that they got to Familia. You know, 43 consecutive saves, and he blows one, and he blows it in the biggest time. And myself, I was having flashbacks to the 2000 World Series with Armando Benitez. That's exactly what was going through my head. I was thinking, oh, no, here we go. And he blew the game. And then 14 innings later, the Mets lost. Did you stay up and watch that game?
Yes, I did. How could you not?
When the
Mets were ahead in the ninth inning, they had I believe it was a one-run lead, and there was one out, and I was saying to myself, "Oh boy, the Mets are going to win this." And then when they got the home run and tied the score, I said, "Oh no!" And you had to stay up because you couldn't go to bed because you just didn't know. You got to the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. You had to stay up. But when they ended up getting the bases loaded with nobody out, I knew that, you know, that the game was over at that point.
I got to get up at 6 o'clock to go to work, so I gave it to the 10th inning, and then I couldn't stay up any longer than that. I had to go to bed, so I didn't see it. Now, what do you think about the pine tar on the back of the catcher's shin guard?
I just couldn't believe that. It was incredible. It was incredible. It's been quite
a series
so far.
We got to talk about that. I know that according to the Royals, I saw some interviews and I read some stuff in the New York Post that said that it's illegal for the pitcher to have pine tar on himself, but there's nothing in the rules about the catcher not being allowed to have it. If you ask me, that's just a cop-out. What's the difference whether the catcher puts it on the ball or the pitcher puts it on the ball? Either way, there's an illegal substance being put on the ball.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
it should never have been allowed.
I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry and whine like a loser, but I just thought that, you know, the fact that that even happened is just ridiculous. I mean, that shouldn't be happening, especially a team that's been in the World Series last year. You know, the best of the best. They're returning to the World Series again. You know, you would think that you know, that kind of stuff wouldn't happen, but it did. And I don't know if the Mets lost the game because of that. I don't know, but it did happen. Now, let's talk a little bit about Game 2. Game 2 was probably the worst game I've ever seen the Mets play.
Well, they were pretty bad. They were the Mets of old.
They were pitiful. I mean, Murphy looked like he was playing miniature golf there, swinging at balls in the dirt. I mean, what happened to Cespedes? What happened to Murphy? What happened to Duda? What happened to the lineup? They just didn't show up to that game. It was bad. I mean, it was bad. By the sixth inning, I had turned it off and gone to bed because they were playing that bad.
Well, I thought when the series first started that it was going to be a pretty evenly matched series, and the way the Mets were pitching, I figured that it was going to be the Mets pitching against the Royals' testy hitting. And after game one, the Mets lost, which they should have won, because the Royals didn't win that game. The Mets handed it to him on a silver platter, and after last night's game, And you know what can you say? It should have been 1-1 going back to New York. Now the Mets are down 2 games heading home. It's terrible.
As a Mets fan, I got to say that when we send our two top pitchers, Harvey the Dark Knight and the DeGrominator, to the mound, they both get beat. And our closer, Familia, gets beat. And then our big bats they're gone silent. It really knocks the wind out of you, and you're like, wow. You know, I really thought we were going to win one of these games, and we lost them both. You know, what next?
And then they only had two hits in the game last night. And that pitcher for Kansas City, he's not an A1 pitcher.
No, that's Johnny Cueto, and the Mets faced him before when he pitched for Cincinnati. So he's not new to them.
Exactly.
They made him look like Tom Glavine or something.
Right, exactly. He's an average pitcher, but he looked, against the Mets last night, he looked like an ace.
Yeah, that really, really bummed me out. And, you know, when I got to work, everybody was ragging me about the Mets and whatnot, and I was like, you know, it's over. It's done. I mean, they can't beat Johnny Cueto with DeGrom on the mound. What the hell? I mean, this is just pitiful. But I got to think that they're going to bounce back. I think they're definitely going to win tomorrow night. There's no doubt about it.
We thought they were going to win last night.
Yeah, we did, except they're back at home. You know, they're in New York. They're playing at their home crowd. They got Syndergaard on the mound, and they're going to win this game. What happens after that, I don't know, but they will win on Friday night, absolutely for sure. And, you know, it's been brought up. I was watching SNY a little bit, and they brought up the fact that in 86, the Mets lost the first two games against Boston at Shea Stadium.
Right, at home, exactly.
At home, and then they went to Boston to play. And we all know the turnout of that game. And,
yes.
But this is not the 86
Mets. That doesn't happen very often.
No, and this isn't the 86 Mets. And, you know, I don't, not to remind people, but, you know, let's take a look at the Mets' history. 86, they won the World Series. 88, they got all the way to Game 7 against the Dodgers, and they blew it. They wouldn't appear again. Let me go back. They got to the World Series against the Oakland A's in 1973, lost in 7 games. Then in 88, they went to the playoffs, got beat by the Dodgers in 7 games. And they wouldn't appear in the playoffs again until 1999, and they got beat by the Braves in 6. And then in 2000, we got the Yankees, and we all know how that ended up. And then 2006, we had the Beltran called strike 3 in Game 7, and that ended. And then we had two massive collapses in 2007 and 2008. And now here we are in 2015 where they lost the first 2 games. So as a Mets fan, you're looking back at the history of the team and you don't have very many positives to look at. You know?
No, you don't. You don't.
You don't.
But you can't give up hope.
You know, you can't give up. And we have a caller on the line here. The phone number is coming through is blocked. So I don't know who it is. But let's see who's on the line with us here. Hey, thanks for calling. What's your name and where are you calling from tonight?
This is Dan from Saratoga Springs.
It's Dan from Saratoga. How you doing, Dan?
Saratoga Springs.
Very good. It's good to hear you.
Hey, we're chatting about the Mets.
I know. I was listening for the last 10 minutes, but we couldn't get in, so we redialed, and now we can hear you. Now we can talk to you.
Yeah, now you're here. The switchboard gets a little crazy sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Are you a Mets fan?
Without question.
So
what do you think?
I was listening.
We were just
talking. I mean, I was listening, and I think last night was very difficult. But you remember 1986 where they lost the first 2 games at Shea and then came back and won. So we got to play 1 game at a time. Tomorrow's another day. Let's see what happens.
That's all you can do.
I think that one of the things for me is the fact that, you know, the Mets pitching is touted as amongst the best, which I think that it is. And I think that the Royals being billed as great fastball hitters I think that maybe Harvey and DeGrom and the Mets let that get into their heads because they changed their game plan and they didn't pitch their A game because, you know, of all this talk. Well, they're contact hitters. They don't strike out a lot. They hit the fastball. So we're going to throw a lot of off-speed stuff and a lot of change-ups, and they got off their game plan. And that
well,
gave the Royals
I don't think Harvey pitched that poorly. I think DeGrom had a bad night, but Harvey didn't pitch that poorly.
So, you know, I think if Syndergaard's going to go in there, just throw the heat, make him hit it, put the ball in play.
Well, we got to figure out a way to get him to swing and miss. They didn't miss anything.
No, they were really hot.
They were sharp. And the Mets, they got to wake up. They got to start hitting the ball. You can't win if you can't score.
Well, that was scary because that reminds you of the team that we saw for most of the summer where they were absolutely impotent. They couldn't do anything right.
And that's what worries me, really, because the team that we saw breezing through the Nationals and breezing through the playoffs and then the team we have seen in the last two games reminded me of the way they played after that big win streak in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I agree. That's very difficult. They need to. Go ahead, Billy.
I think that layoff really hurt the Mets too. You know, when you're going hot like that, and then all of a sudden, you know, you don't play, you get out of that rhythm. It's very difficult to get that back. And it just seems to me that Kansas City has been up more for these last two games than the Mets. The Mets seem very flat, I think.
Well, I think the layoff did hurt them, but, you know, that's just the way. So you have to overcome it. Uh-oh.
And I definitely think that they're going to do that when they play in New York on Friday. I mean, if we want to look at the 2000 World Series as an example, you know, they played the same way against the Yankees in 2000. They were just flat, and they weren't running out balls. And, you know, Timo Perez hits a home run, and he's trotting around the base. The ball bounces off the top of the wall, and he's called out. I mean, stuff like that. And they're, you know, they're playing the same way. The Mets right now are kind of playing this lazy kind of like baseball, like they're worn out, like they're tired. And they've got to get out of this, because I think they're a better team than what they played last night.
Well, their bats have to start coming alive because they're putting too much pressure on the pitching staff, and I think that the whole team is got to get their act together and start hitting. You can't expect
the
pitchers
to hit the
ball. To win the game for you. I mean, only two hits against an average pitcher. Is not very good. And how many hits did they have, total hits did they have for the both games?
Seven?
Seven hits. And that's not good.
No, that is not good. But, you know, can they bounce back? Will they be able to bounce back? And, you know, something else that I wanted to mention was these last two games that I watched, you know, I just do not like these announcers that are doing the games. They're like, I don't know, they love the Royals. I mean, on Friday night when the game plays, I think I'm going to get my stopwatch, and I'm going to time how much time they spend on air talking about how good the Royals are. Because there's two teams playing in this thing. There's the Royals and the Mets. And the Mets didn't get there because they were a slouchy team. They got there because they were the best and because they deserved it. And to constantly be talking about how good the Royals are. Oh, they're good fastball hitters. Oh, they put the ball in contact. Oh, they don't strike out. Oh, the inside the park home run. I'm like, come on, what about the Mets? You know, the Mets are not a slouchy team under normal circumstances. Now, last night, yeah, they were slouchy. But normally, that's not the team. That team that we saw last night was not the team that we've been watching. It just wasn't. And I think that if the Mets can wake up and start playing the way the Mets were playing, I think Kansas City is going to be in for a real fight. But will that happen on Friday night? You know, that's the question.
You got to play one game at a time and win one and then go and worry about the next.
And actually, they have no choice. It has to happen on Friday night. mean, they're going to be playing in front of the home crowd. The place is going to be crazy. I've never been down there for a World Series, but I was there in 2006 for the playoffs, and I'll tell you, nothing rocks like Shea Stadium with Mets fans screaming, "Let's go Mets." It's awesome. There's nothing better. And I think that that energy is going to have to come through to the players. They're going to have to feel that, and they're going to turn it up a notch. And I think once they do, I don't think there's any stopping them. I think they can take the next three at Citi Field. But they got to get off to a good start. They have to win Friday night.
I agree. But Friday night's a big one.
Yeah, and the New York fans, even the Yankee fans, are jumping on the bandwagon. They're buying all kinds of Mets stuff, and and rooting for the Mets because it's New York. It's a New York team.
Well, it sounds like you're speaking from the perspective of a Yankee fan.
Well, I like the Yankees. I like the Mets. I love the old teams that they used to have with Seaver and those guys. They're great. They're great. And the Mets are. I do like the Mets.
One of the biggest dilemmas that I had.
I remember when the Mets first started in 1962. Because if you can recall, that was they lost the New York Giants left, and the Dodgers left. They had no team. The Giants left. They had no team. And along came the New York Metropolitans, 1962.
You know what? One of the biggest dilemmas that I had was in 2009 when the Yankees played the Phillies. And I was like, what do I do? I despise the Yankees, but I loathe the Phillies. Who do I root for? I mean, Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins with the Phillies? Or do I go for Derek Jeter and the Yankees in the House of Pain? I mean, I was really, really in a dilemma over who I wanted to see win that World Series.
So who'd you root for?
Well, you know what? My hatred for the Phillies won out.
I can't blame you.
Because I remember Jimmy Rollins, we're the team to beat, and all the talk coming out of Rollins. And Chase Utley, I don't remember who it was that he took out, but he took out one of our Mets players at second base the same way he did to Ruben Tejada. In 2009. It might have been Murphy.
I can't remember. Yeah.
But that's not the first time Utley's tackled a second baseman like that. And so I was like, you know what? My hatred for them is far, far supersedes the way I feel about the Yankees. So they got what they deserved. Now, let's take a second. Well, let's go back to the Dodgers series. Let's talk about the Utley play a little bit. You know, I was watching that game, and up to that point, I felt that the Mets had the game. And I'm like, this is it. This is the seventh inning. They got this game because they're going to get through this inning, and they're going to go to Clippard. They're going to go to Clippard or Reed for the eighth, and then they're going to bring in Familia in the ninth, and that's going to be the game. And it'll be a sweep, and then it'll be over. But then Utley turns around and does a 3-foot flying through the air tackle into a guy with his back turned to him and says, "I didn't mean to hit him. It was an accident." But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part is the umpire calls Utley safe, calls the guy at first base safe. Tejada's got a broken leg. They stop the game, blah, blah, blah. Messes the whole flow and ebb up of the game. Collins takes out the pitcher, replaces him with, who was it? Cologne came in, I think it was. And that was it. Game over. Dodgers won. Doesn't matter at this point because the Mets won the series, but I just think
it was
that
a terrible, 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 terrible call. You look
it was
at
a
those
bad
replays,
call.
And he went right out, way out of it. He should have been out because he went right out of the base pass to begin with.
He slid,
and he was
slid
deliberately going to take him out.
Yeah. Slid very late in the play, and then Major League Baseball didn't have the guts to rule on his suspension and let him play the remainder of the series.
Exactly, exactly. Very, 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 very poorly done. Whether, whether you're a Mets fan or a Yankees fan or whatever, Dodgers fan, you know, if you're a baseball fan, it was a bad, bad call. Bad.
What but, should have happened is Utley should have been called out for interference. The guy running the first should have been called out. It should have been a double play. End of the inning. The Mets still have the lead. Then they call in Clippert for the eighth instead of what ended up happening. But Joe Torre didn't say that was an illegal play until after the fact. And,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is. But that's why I rooted for the Yankees, because I think Utley is a dirty player. I just don't like him.
Certainly didn't go well in that game. Hey, you know, one of my pet peeves in the recent broadcast, and what do you think about this? Fox, in its pregame and wraparound shows, has A-Rod and Pete Rose as their commentators. I think it's absolutely despicable that they have these two guys on who flaunted baseball rules. One is ineligible for the Hall of Fame due to betting on the games and has never showed any kind of remorse for having done this, or I know he's kind of reluctantly admitted that he did it. And the other guy was suspended for longer than anybody we know, except for possibly Shoeless Joe Jackson. He's lost over a year due to a suspension to baseball, and Fox puts these two guys on? What about the integrity of the game?
And if you watch them, I was watching the show, and Pete Rose was attacking Ibanez. He kept saying, "How many did you win? How many did you win? How many did you win?" And it was like, what does that have to do with the game here? And you know, it's crazy. But I agree. I mean, we're talking Kansas City and the New York Mets, and they pull out A-Rod and Pete Rose. Like, they couldn't have got maybe George Brett and Tom Seaver?
Well, that would have been a much better choice. But or any of the current players. But those two guys in particular who basically thumb their nose at the baseball establishment and come back and are now, you know, when you put a guy on pregame or postgame show, you're basically celebrating these two people. You're saying that they are among the most knowledgeable and marketable and presentable people in baseball, spokespersons,
right,
exactly, for baseball.
Exactly. And they're getting paid for it besides.
Absolutely.
Good money.
I think it's just absolutely irresponsible that they put those two guys on TV.
I agree. I agree, and they're not very good commentators either.
Well, poor
Frank
Thomas isn't very good. Ibanez is good. I like him.
Yeah, and Kevin Burkhart used to do the Mets games on SNY.
Yeah, he's really good. He's very good. It raised my dander when I saw those two guys. And then even during the broadcast, they had A-Rod commenting, you know, on particular at-bats or particular pitching. And I don't know. I mean, I think he's articulate. I think he's knowledgeable about the game. But he's also the guy who told everybody many times and lied to the fact that he never used PEDs. And then he ran his campaign, supposedly, behind the scenes to try to discredit everyone who spoke out against him. I mean, it's absolutely reprehensible.
I agree.
No,
Major League Baseball could have done something better. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know what's going on. And did you when you watched the playoffs, they had Cal Ripken on there, and they had Ron Darling, and who was the other guy that did the National League? Cal Ripken, Darling, and was it Joe Buck?
Yeah, no, it wasn't Buck.
They were terrible. They were absolutely terrible. I mean, watching every Mets game, I like Keith, Gary, and Ron, because Keith, Gary, and Ron are not homers. When the Mets screw up, they'll tell you, and they're not afraid to either. And the thing that I remember most about it is in the Cubs game, when that outfielder went to catch that ball and missed, and he was flopping around on the outfield and just laying there on his stomach, the ball rolled by him, went all the way to the wall, to the ivy, and I think it was Darno ended up at home, and then they called the ground rule double. And, you know, Ron you know, Ron Darling was like, well, you know, that's just not right. The field, he let the ball go by him on purpose and just laid there while the ball rolled. You're going to reward him by bringing the guy back from third and putting him at second. And Cal Ripken, and they're like, well, it's – and they're just – I just don't like them.
Yeah, it was
like
the ground rule. It was the TBS guy who does all the basketball. What's his name?
Yeah. You're right. He's a basketball announcer. Yeah, you're right. Right.
So he knows a lot about baseball to be on the playoffs. I didn't like it.
That was just a tough call because that was a ground rule at Wrigley, whether you like the ground rule or not. They took advantage of it, no question.
The guy laid there. He just laid in the outfield and let the ball roll right by him. Never made an attempt to let it go.
Well, he knew.
I was like, come on. But they won anyways, so it doesn't matter. Hey, listen, if anybody wants to give us a call and talk about the Mets, we're going to be here for about another 20 minutes or so. The number here is 646-668-2433. That's the studio line. It's 646-668-2433. And we're talking about the New York Mets and the 2015 World Series, in particular Game 3 coming up Friday night at Citi Field. So give us a call and share your feelings, you know, vent a little bit. I know we need some therapy, us Mets fans, and that's what we're here for. So give us a call, 646-668-2433. So anyways, let's get back to the Mets. Now, what do you think about – you think Syndergaard is going to just come in with his A game, or do you think Syndergaard is going to try to alter his approach because the Royals are such good hardball hitters? What do you think, Dan?
I imagine that you always go with what brought you to the dance, so I think he's got to go with his best stuff and challenge him.
I agree 100%.
You got to challenge him. If they're such good fastball hitters, make them prove it. You know, prove it.
It's going to turn into location. All, you know, he can't throw it out over the plate.
No, like Familia did in Game 1.
Yeah, that was tough to watch.
Boy, he grew that right in there.
Oh, that killed me. I was on the phone with William. William was texting me during that game. And when that happened, I was like, oh. But, killed me. That did take the air out of us.
But, you know, it's unfortunate, but those things happen, you know.
And if the Mets come back and win the next three games, that's going to take the air out of Kansas City. And I think the Mets can do that.
Well, I hope so. They got to win. They got to win Friday night.
The team that I watch. I was sitting up at camp around the campfire with my cell phone glued to my ear when the Washington Nationals came into Citi Field and the Mets were a half a game out of first place. They had to sweep that series to take sole possession of first place, and they did. And I was glued to my phone every game. I'm sitting around the campfire on my cell phone in my ear, just listening to every play, every pitch. And they got it done. They knew what they had to do, and they did it. And I'm hoping I'm hoping that they do it again. And I think they can. But something's not right with the team. Something's not right.
They're flat.
They're flat. They're not playing. Something's just missing.
Yep, they are flat. They need to have somebody get hot again, you know?
They need to have some fun. They need to have fun is what it is. All they talked about, you know, growing up you always dream about hitting in the World Series and playing. Here we are doing it. Okay, here you are doing it. Now get out there and do it. Have some fun. Play the game, you know? Have some fun. Because it's contagious. Hitting
is
contagious. So get out there and do it. Do what you do best. Do what you've done all season long since the All-Star break. Just go out there and do your thing. don't worry about what the Royals are doing. Let the Royals do whatever the Royals want to do, but the Mets got to do what the Mets do, what they did to get there. If they can do that, they can win. And I'm tired about hearing, you know, how feisty the Royals are. Oh, they fight back. They come from behind. They're a feisty team. They don't roll over. Well, you know what? Mets don't either. And I didn't hear anyone say that on the broadcast. I watched the Mets come back from deficits all season long, the games that blew my – I'd call up Dad. I'd say, Dad, did you see that game? Right, Dad?
Exactly.
I can't believe what I just – I can't believe what just happened. All season long, the Mets were doing that. Kansas City's not special. They're not the only team that does that. The Mets can do it, too. They've done it before. They need to find that magic. They got to get the magic back. And if they do, the Kansas City can't stop them.
I agree.
Well, they should have won the first game. Last night they were outplayed. They should have won the first game. It should have been tied 1-1. And if that's the case, if it was tied 1-1, I think it would be a completely different series. Because I think that would have taken the sails out of the Royals.
Well, we would have gone back to New York at 1-1. That would have been a world of difference. Yeah, you're absolutely
exactly,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Mets know that they should have won Game One, and they know that they should have split. And they
should.
And you know what else?
Cry over it. Yeah, you gotta move forward.
There's no crying in baseball unless you're Wilma Flores. I really think that the Mets can do this. You know, they got to the World Series. They got through Greinke and Kershaw twice. They got through Arrieta. They have the best pitching staff, I think, in baseball. Maybe I'm jaded, but I think that our top three guys are the best top three guys. And, you know, Game One they should have won. Harvey didn't pitch a bad game. Some things didn't go their way. That's baseball. That's why it's a game. But Game Two, they were flat, and
yeah.
There's no excuse.
Game Two, they didn't perform very well at all. Yep.
And
there's no excuse.
Another thing too, is Cespedes. What's going on with him?
I agree.
That,
he's been a big disappointment.
It's supposed to be a team thing, and when you got a guy like that, when his name is announced, it doesn't even come out and claims that he was in the John. That's baloney. It's a team sport, and you gotta stick together as a team. And he hasn't done anything.
And
I don't know why Collins keeps him in the game.
And then he missed the pop fly, which became an inside the field home run. It's like you got to catch that. You're a major league player.
It was a routine fly ball, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he wasn't ready to play that game.
No. No. And he certainly hasn't done anything at the bat.
No.
And I don't know why.
Who knows? Maybe he'll explode, but I think they found his weakness. I mean, especially against the Royals. I mean, Cespedes has played his whole career in the American League, so they know this guy.
Well, do you think he's going to be starting tomorrow night?
Well, what's the alternative?
Well,
yeah. Well, what else? Who? What? They have no one else to put in. I mean, you're not going to play Kelly Johnson.
Yeah, or you could have Conforto in left and Lagares in center, but that's not that much of an upgrade. That's not an upgrade. So I think you got to play him. You got to go with him.
Well,
I think you got to leave. You got to leave Cespedes in there for the simple fact that he might not be hitting right now, but he's a threat that he could.
Right.
And
right.
If he wakes up and starts hitting again, that's going to give a lot of protection to the lineup. So I think you got to leave him in there.
I think it helps Murphy if he hits better, if he's more of a threat.
Exactly.
And also, Dude has got to start hitting.
Well, you know,
he
had two really cheap hits last night, but he was the only guy that got any hits.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, David Wright hasn't been hitting. You know, Duda hasn't been hitting. Cespedes hasn't been hitting. Murphy just came to a screeching halt all of a sudden.
Well, even Monday night, even in the first game, Murphy got two hits. I mean, they were singles. He didn't hit the ball. He didn't get an extra base hit. But until last night, you know, he hit in every game.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
That's true. Well, I really I think they can do it. I really do. It's all going to – and you'll know. You'll know when they come out. You'll know in the first – by the first or second inning, you'll know how they're playing. You know, either they got the energy and they got the spark and you'll see it, or they don't. And you'll
know. I agree
with
you. I think it's critical that they score first and take the lead in game three. Because if they're
absolutely
playing from behind, I don't know. That could extinguish any spark they might have.
You can't let Kansas City get the upper hand again. They already think they have it.
And you know, another thing that got me about last night's game was the pitcher. They kept bragging about the pitcher, but he's only an average pitcher, and the Mets were not hitting.
The Royals went out and got him at the trade deadline to make him the difference maker for that team. So they placed a lot of confidence in him. You know, he struggled at times in Cincinnati, but he's a quality pitcher. He got the best of the Mets last night.
And the Mets have beat up on him when he pitched for Cincinnati. It's not like they've never seen the guy before.
Right.
I mean, you know, but they made him look like Ty Cobb last night.
Yeah, he had a great game.
They got to get out of that funk. You know, I'll be wearing my Mets hat watching the game. I'll be right here, and I'll be cheering. And I hope the people down there at Citi Field got the energy. Now, you know what? I want to talk about this for a second here. Not off topic, but a little bit. World Series. Never been to one. I would die to go to a World Series. And I went to the playoffs in 06 at Shea Stadium. Karen, Jamie, and myself went, and it was awesome. So as soon as the Mets made it to the World Series, I immediately said, I got to get tickets. Do you have any idea how much the tickets were for the World Series at Citi Field?
Well, I mean, I imagine you were buying them from people who already had them, so they were probably charging, you know, astronomical amounts to it. Yeah.
They were $950 for standing room only on the Shea Bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, just StubHub, $1,500. I went to Mets.com, and apparently Mets.com had a raffle, and that was the only way you could get a ticket. They raffled. You put your name in an email. They drew your email, and they sent you an email and said, okay, well, you know, you got 10 hours to buy tickets, and we're going to limit them to four, and if you don't buy them, we're going to draw another name. And that's how the Mets handled it. But the big thing was, in 2006, we went to the playoffs. We sat in the second to last row on the upper deck behind home plate, $121 a ticket. Me and Karen and Jamie went to that game. Try to get tickets now at Citi Field. They cut the upper deck off. They lost over 12,000 seats. And I think that's why the tickets are so expensive.
Oh,
because
it's
there's
a
less
smaller
of them.
Ballpark, too. Yeah. Much
it's,
smaller
it's
ballpark.
It's a smaller park, and that drives the price of the tickets up.
Well, I went, you know, I had World Series tickets in 1986, and the only way I got them is I went and bought the Saturday season ticket plan, and I had that for 5 years. And when you buy a season ticket plan, it guarantees you, in that case back then, I don't know what it might do today, but it guaranteed you two World Series tickets if they made it to the World Series. But, you know, in the beginning of the year, you had to lay out money for every, in my case, I had tickets to every Saturday home game at Shea Stadium. So it was 13 games. And that's how I got to go. They have those plans today. I don't know what, you know, I don't know if that gets you postseason tickets, but it did back then.
It does, because in 2006, when we spent $121 per ticket, and I was absolutely, absolutely positive to the point that the Mets are going to make the moves they need to get to the World Series in 07. They're going to be there. So I'm going to buy a Saturday pass. I bought a Pedro pack. I bought three tickets for every Saturday game. And I had in my possession, I had tickets for the World Series, for all the playoffs, everything right in my hand. And I was, like, so excited. And then Tom Glavine just turned them into dust in that last game of the season. Nine runs before he recorded an out, it was over. My tickets were worthless. So, yeah, they still do that.
Yeah.
Well, they did it.
I think that's about the only way you can do it.
But, yeah, exactly. Because if you're trying to buy them afterwards, forget it.
Well, especially now where the prices just go into the stratosphere. It's absurd, you know.
It is crazy.
What is that deal that the governor's got going with the tickets for Shea? I mean, for Citi Field.
Oh, I saw in the news tonight he pulled it back. It was part of a fundraiser. And so he was asking people who support his campaign to make a donation to the campaign in exchange for tickets, but the donation was pretty steep. I don't know how much it was, but it was a really high donation you had to make to get the tickets. Very poorly done by the governor.
Because I saw that, and I caught that on the news tonight, and I say, you know what? What's going on here?
Yeah, Jim, you might not have known that, but Governor Cuomo in New York here, a very bad move on his part. Hey, did you see the other part, Billy, where he flew on the private jet of the Wilpons to the first two games in Kansas City?
Right.
Yeah, that's just, you can't do that as a politician. That's terrible. Just terrible.
It is. Now, they said they made a bet, the two governors, that if the Mets win the World Series, then the Kansas City governor has got to wear the Mets uniform to work for one day.
Okay.
And the other way around, if the Mets lose, then Cuomo has got to wear a Kansas City uniform to work for one day. Plus, different kinds of foods that they're supposed to give each other.
Yeah. So, Jim, I didn't realize that you had the Saturday plan, what, in 2007?
2007. I had the Saturday plan. I had just started working for the state, and I said to Karen, you know, this is the year. You know, they had picked up Glavine in the off season. They missed the World Series by one out. I mean, they were right there at Game 7. And I said, they're going to go out. They're going to pick up what they need, and they're going to make it in 07. Let's get the plan. And at that time, she agreed with me, and I got the plan. And then we used like three or four of them, and I sold all the rest. But I only bought the plan to get the postseason tickets. That's the only reason why I did it. And I had it in my hand. I was so excited when they came in the mail. I had the tickets for everything. I was like, wow, this is going to be great. It's going to be great. And the big choke.
Yeah.
They had a 17-game lead with 10 games lead with 17 to go.
That's right.
And they blew it.
Wow.
They blew it.
That's a major commitment that you made back then to go from Rutland down to New York. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, we were all ready to go. And now she won't let me do it anymore. We did it that one time. It didn't work, so now I can never do it again. I called my brother. I called everybody to see if I could get me a couple tickets to the game, and it was like winning a lottery.
Yeah, it's impossible. Especially now at Citi Field where they start off with 10,000 seats less just to begin with, and then you're saying that they cut off upper deck seating, so there's probably only 40,000 seats available, and they're all gobbled up by season ticket holder. You know, corporations, you can't get them.
No, it's unfortunately, it's not fair. It's not fair to the true baseball fans like we are, because you get cut out, because half of the field level goes to corporate right off the bat.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's probably a quarter of the seats that are gone. And then you got the family and friends of the players. I mean, by the time you get done, how many seats are actually available for people like me and you to purchase?
Oh,
well, don't
few.
They have to have? Don't they have to have some tickets that are available for the public? You know, like you or me or somebody that want to go to the game. They must have some tickets that are available.
Well, they don't have I don't think
they
need
to. They did the
to.
Raffle. You know, they had a raffle. You put your email name in. They drew, you know, 10,000 email addresses and sent you an email that you could buy 4 tickets to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave you 10 hours to respond, and if you didn't, then they drew another name. And that's the way the Mets chose to do it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to get those tickets. I mean, unless you have a commitment, a season-long commitment. I think the Mets are even marketing, the 2016 plan already, and that's in an attempt to get you to buy them and then guarantee you postseason tickets for next year. I mean, they even do it with the Yankee tickets. When the Yankees are hot, you got to buy. If you want to buy a ticket to the Mets-Yankees, even regular season, you've got to buy 2 or 3 other games along with it.
Oh, right, package.
Yeah, it's just the way they market things because they can do it. People will buy it.
Yep.
Now, we got a couple minutes left here. We got about 12 minutes left, believe it or not. So let's talk about the Mets pitching. Now, I think that when Wheeler comes back next year, And we're going to have the rotation of Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Mats, and Wheeler. That is a pitching rotation dream come true for any Mets fan.
It's
true, I would say.
Yeah, without question.
So that leaves Nice out of the picture.
It wasn't even on the computer. I had to run it.
Yeah.
So they'll put him in the bullpen or get rid of him.
Well, I think it opens up a lot of avenues for possible trades to strengthen your team in areas that you're weak.
She took it off her computer somehow.
Yeah,
well, that's true.
That rotation, and this is another thing that got me a little bit down this morning when I got up and went to work. That rotation, I heard John Smoltz say that rotation he thinks is better than the Braves rotation of the 90s. And the Braves rotation in the 90s won 13 consecutive pennants, won World Series, but they won the National League East 13 years in a row. I mean, they had as dominant a pitching staff as you could want and only had one ring to show for it. And I'm watching this World Series, and I have that in the back of my mind, and I see Harvey get beat, and I see DeGrom get beat, and I'm thinking, my God, are we turning into the Braves? Are we going to have this awesome pitching staff that's just unstoppable during the season, gets into the postseason, and then they disappear? And that was also in the back of my mind. Like, come on, I want more than that.
Well, you got to think of two things. No matter how good some of these teams are, the Mets of the mid '80s only won the one World Series in '86. As good as they were, the Phillies, who dominated the National League East recently, as you said, only won one World Series. That's what usually happens. You don't dominate unless you're the San Francisco Giants more recently.
Or the New York Yankees.
Well, of course, yes, you're right, or the Yankees.
But if the Yankees could do it, the Mets can do it.
Getting back to the proposed, our starting rotation for next year, you know, we've seen, unfortunately, injuries associated with these young pitchers and with many staffs. I think you got to keep a quality number 6 starter. You know what? I think you got to have one of these guys in reserve. And I don't know who it would be because I think both Nice and Colon are odd people out. You wouldn't really want them around because you couldn't use them.
Well, you could use him in the bullpen.
I think Colon
right?
in the bullpen is an excellent choice.
I do too. And get rid of Nice. Nice has done nothing.
Well, then that may be the way to go. I understand that Colon had expressed an interest with signing a contract and pitching next year for the Mets. I don't know if he'll pitch out of the bullpen, but if that's the case, then maybe that's a solution.
I think that would be a good solution. because the Mets has always had trouble with the bullpen. And the one good thing about Colon, being that he was a starter, he can come out of the bullpen and pitch three or four innings, being that he was a starter. So that has to help, and that has to be in the equation. And he's already, it's like you say, he's already showed interest in coming back next year. And I would go that route rather than try to keep Nice.
Well, there's two things about that. First of all, if you remember, the Braves did that with John Smoltz, and they extended his career by years by moving him from a starter to, well, first they moved him to the pen, and then they moved him to a closer, and he just caught fire in that role. So moving Colon to the bullpen is not necessarily a bad move if he's willing to do it.
Well,
it's been proven
you got a 43-year-old pitcher. If he doesn't get regular work, I don't know how effective he's going to be.
That's true.
I don't think he's going to be able to be as flexible as somebody else might be.
I was watching Terry Collins' interview this afternoon for tomorrow's game, and he said that Matt's only went five innings in his last start, and Terry Collins said that if Matt's has to come out, he's going to put Nice in to finish off the game. And his reasoning behind it. Is that of his starting pitchers, Nice is the one with the lowest velocity of all. And if indeed this Royals hit fastballs, the best stuff is true, then maybe putting Nice in there is exactly what they need. You throw a guy in there that tops out at 89, and maybe that will throw off their timing and throw off their game plan. And that's what Terry Collins said in his interview this afternoon. So we might actually see Nice in Saturday's game.
That's a little disconcerting because they did light him up in his second inning of relief last night. They bounced him around pretty good.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if that's an elimination game, it'll be all hands on deck. Whoever his arm isn't falling off will have to pitch in that game.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I hope it's not an elimination game.
Well, they got to play it like it is. I got to admit that after the Dodger game, after the Mets won the first two, and then we had the Utley thing, and the Mets lost the next two, I was really down as myself. I was like, oh my God, they're going to blow it now. The Dodgers got all the steam, and you know they got all the momentum, and you know the whole nine yards. But you know the Mets came in, they pulled that right out. And I'm hoping they can do that again this weekend, actually. I got to believe that they can.
Absolutely. You got to be optimistic. Right, Billy?
Exactly.
Now, what does Aunt Patty think?
Well, here she is. Hello?
Hey,
hello?
Aunt Patty, what do you think about the Mets' chances this weekend?
I say that they're going to win. I'm a Mets fan along with Dan, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I have to be there to the bitter end.
I think they can do it.
Well, they're certainly going to try. But, we've been disappointed all summer, and they just got lucky toward the end of the summer to get into the playoffs to begin with. So for us, it's a nice ride for a while. And another thing, tomorrow night they're going to play in Citi Field, the very first World Series ever played there. So that's a pretty big deal, even though whether they win or lose.
The Mets are going to be pumped for that.
Well, I hope so. If nothing else, all the fans will show our stuff.
That place will be rocking tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
I think the Mets can do it. I think they can win Friday. I think they can win Saturday. I think they can win Sunday. I think they can go up 3-2 and take it back to Kansas City. That's what I think.
I hope so. I hope so.
It'll all come down to tomorrow. If the Mets can pull off tomorrow and they can get their energy back and get their steam back, Kansas City's not going to stand a chance. They'll take all three games. It all hinges on tomorrow.
Who's the pitcher for, well, tomorrow we know it's Syndergaard. Who's for Saturday?
Mats.
Okay. He's kind of like a new fan.
Yeah, he's only pitching, I think, his sixth game, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know too much about him. He's a young guy.
Then we got Harvey.
But, I like Harvey. I like Noah, and I like the other guy, DeGrom. DeGrominator.
The DeGrominator.
Yeah, he's good.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, it's going to be a good game. It's a game that you don't want to miss. It's going to be good. It's going to be really
good. Well, I'm signing off for tonight. And
all right.
We'll all be cheering
tomorrow.
Thanks
for spending some time with us.
Oh, you're welcome. And here's Dan, sign-off. Just a minute.
Have a good night.
Good. Well, it's good to talk to you guys.
So, So before we got a couple minutes left, Dan. What's your prediction? What do you see the end all? What do you think is going to happen here? What do you think that when all is said and done and all the dust settles, what is going to be the end game? What do you predict?
Well, I've got to be optimistic. I got to say the Mets in seven.
I think the Mets are going to win it in six.
Ooh.
That's what I think. I think the Mets are going to catch on fire on Friday, and once they catch on fire, we've seen there's no stopping them. It all hinges on Friday. The Mets get the energy from the fans, and they get reinvigorated. It's the first World Series at Citi Field. It's going to be, you can't ask for any more than that. They're going to catch on fire Friday.
Oh no, they're going to be charged for that.
And they are going to they're going to turn around to the Royals, and they're going to say, you know what? It's our turn now, and they're going to kick them to the curb. And then the match is going to come out, and they're going to kick them to the curb again. Then we're going to be back to Harvey, and Harvey's going to have to redeem himself from the game one loss, and he's going to bring it, and he's going to smoke them. And then we're going to go back to Kansas City with DeGrom, and DeGrom's going to have something to prove himself, and he's going to smoke them. And six games later, the Mets are going to be the World Series champions. That's my prediction.
Bill, what do you think?
How does that sound, the New York Mets? World
Sounds
champion.
Great. What's your prediction, Billy?
Well, I think it all hinges on the game tomorrow. If the Mets lose, I think it's a pretty hard battle, uphill battle. But if they win tomorrow night, I think they're going to be right in it. I really do.
I honestly cannot see any conceivable way that the Mets lose Friday night. I cannot see it happening.
First game at Citi Field,
World Series, the crowd, the energy. This is the game they all said they've been waiting for. I cannot see them not pulling out their A game for the home crowd on Friday night. I can't see the Mets being swept.
I can't. I think they're going to win tomorrow night. I really do.
I think if they can win on Friday night, if they can pull it to this is my whole prediction hinges on Friday. If they can pull it out on Friday night, if they can pull it all together, get their bats to wake up, get their pitching plan, put it in all into effect, and win that game. And prove to themselves that they can beat the Royals. I don't think there's any stopping them. I think they're going to just go right on, boom, 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 and they're going to win. That's my prediction.
Well, you said that about Chicago, and you were right. So I hope you're right again.
So that's what I think. I think they're going to, and it all hinges on Friday. Like Dad said, if they lose Friday, it's pretty much it's over. But I don't think they're going to. I really don't.
All right.
Thanks for sure. Thanks for being with us for this hour, Dan. We're just about out of time. So I think that our Mets therapy show went pretty good. So
absolutely.
Thank you for joining us. And thanks for joining us as well, Dad. It was great to have
anytime,
you on for a little while.
We'll have to do this again tomorrow night to talk about the game.
Yeah, I'm thinking I might do another Mets show. I did one on game one, and I had to shorten it up because, you know, no one called because the World Series was coming on. I thought maybe we could chat before the game, but it didn't work out. So after they win the next three games and they're traveling back to Kansas City to win the next game on Monday, we'll do our next show on Monday after the Mets win the next three, and then we'll talk then. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, thanks a lot, Dan. Good night, and say thank you to Aunt Patty for me as well.
Okay.
And thanks a lot for joining us, Dad. We had a good time. And listen, guys, I got one more thing I want to play for you. I started out the show with the 1986 theme song, Let's Go Mets, and I want to wrap up the show with a song that I found called Back in the New York Groove by Ace Frehley of Kiss, but this is the 2015 Mets edition. Enjoy. Thanks for spending some time with us, and have a good night, everybody. And let's go, Mets!
Cespedes hits one deep to left center. Back toward the wall. Looking on. And it's out of here! Joanna Cespedes gets the
victory. He's just keeping the ball away from Moore. The whole game, he wants to get it.
There, ball. Behind the back. Slim, and he got him. Oh, wow. Jonas drives one. Deep right center field. Headed toward the wall. It's out of here! Kirk Nieuwenhuis gives the Mets the lead. Here I am. And
about that song?
I think it's great.
Have you heard it before?
Great. No.
Never.
That I found that on the internet. I thought that's a good song to play on the show. I kind of like it. They put Gary Cohen calling the games in there, and, you know, Back in the New York Groove. It's a New York song. I kind of liked it. I thought that might pep up the Mets fans that are a little bit depressed tonight.
Did the job for me.
That was real good.
I mean, that with the Let's Go Mets song at the beginning. I mean, I'm as down as everybody else, but I think they're going to win. I honestly, really, really do.
We're with you.
Absolutely.
I do.
Absolutely.
I think they're going to win.
We'll be glued to that TV tomorrow night.
We'll be back here. Monday night after the Mets win the next three games and they go back to Kansas City 3-2 with the Royals spinning their heads saying, what just happened? We'll all get back together here on Monday night and we'll discuss the World Series and how the Mets got to where they are now from where they were today.
I agree.
Sounds
it's
good.
It's going to happen.
Yep.
So we get together. We do this. This is a Blog Talk Radio show, and we're live on the internet right now. Anybody that's at their computer can click on the link and listen to us. And anybody that wants to give the station a call is 646-668-2433, and they can call the studio line and get right on and chat with us if they want to. And I usually do a Star Trek show on Thursday night, but my co-host was not going to be available, so I decided to do Mets talk instead of Trek talk. I thought it worked out. So it's kind of cool. Good play on words. And we do this all the time. So just get together, chat, and have some fun. A couple of fans.
Yep.
So, and yep. Jamie, DJ Style, she does a rock and roll show on Wednesdays from 4:30 to 6:30. And she just did her Halloween Spooktacular show. And if you go to Blog Talk Radio and look for Trek Talk, you can find a list of all of our shows there. Just scroll down the list, click on the one that you want to listen to, and it will play for you. And Jamie also has a Facebook page, DJ Styles, and you can listen to that. And you can check out any of our Star Trek shows that we have done in the past. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. We enjoy it. And
sounds
we can do
good.
More special shows like the Mets show. And after they win the World Series, we'll have a special Super Mets show. It'll
can't
be a
wait.
Lot of fun.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Sounds
okay.
good, Jim.
We'll talk
Hang
to you
in
soon.
There.
Okay,
have
we'll
faith.
Let you
gotta
go.
Believe.
Okay, let's go Mets.
Go Mets.
All right, good night, Dan.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, Dad. I guess
good night.
I guess that's it.
Yep. It was a good time.
We had a good time. It was so what's your prediction, Dad?
Well, I think that if the Mets win tomorrow, I think they're in good shape and I think they're going to be good. They're going to go all the way.
Now, have you talked to Will?
Just briefly. But and he mentioned that he called you and that Riley called you too, and he has been watching the games, so he's into it.
Yeah, it's a little bit depressing right now, but that's going to change tomorrow night.
Well, hopefully
tomorrow night it'll be different.
That place will be rocking down there tomorrow, though.
Oh God,
sure.
Yes.
And you know, and the weather's going to be nice, too.
Yes. It was almost 60 here today.
Yeah, well, it hit 70 degrees here today. And I was watching. Are you off the channel now?
Well.
Your show is still on?
Yep, we're still on the air.
Oh.
Yep.
I was watching... Watching the 6 o'clock news tonight, and they gave the prediction for the winter, and he predicted that it was going to be a milder winter than normal because of the El Nino. So we'll see. Hopefully
yep.
he's right. And
I hope so too.
It's not going to be as cold as it was last year. Last year it was brutal.
Oh God, yes.
You know,
I hope it's nice for the game tomorrow night.
Oh, it is. It's gonna be nice. It's gonna be nice. So you know, it's not gonna be 60 degrees, but it's gonna be. It's not gonna be 20 degrees either. It's gonna be good baseball weather.
Yeah, that's what we need.
So and there's no
we
there's
need
no
good weather.
No rain. So
it's gonna be dry.
It should be a good series down there.
Yeah, I wanted to I wanted to, we got a couple minutes before we're out of time here. I wanted to tell a little story. I don't know if you heard this before or not, Dad, but way, way, way back in 1980, when Grandma and Grandpa still lived down in Brooklyn, and Uncle Eddie took me and William to a Mets game at Shea Stadium.
Right.
And we went down to the game, and all the way down on the train, that we, you know, we saw the stickers, the magic is back, with the pictures of two guys on the posters everywhere. We get down to the game, and Uncle Eddie buys us a yearbook, and we walk right up to Shea Stadium, end up sitting right behind the dugout, and they're playing pitch and catch over there. And Uncle Eddie waves these two guys over, and they come over to sign our yearbook, which I thought was the greatest thing in the world. And you know who those two guys were?
No.
Those two guys were the same guys whose pictures were on the side of the bus that said, "The magic is back." At the time, I didn't know who they were, but it was Joel Youngblood and Lee Mazzilli. Those were the stars in 1980, and they signed the yearbook for me and Will. And I was just, you know, I was hooked as a Mets fan from that point on. And in that particular game, it was against the Atlanta Braves, and Dale Murphy hit a home run. It was the first home run I ever saw at a major league game. It was hit by Dale Murphy, and the Mets lost that game 1-0 to the Atlanta Braves. But I had so much fun at the game that I just became hooked, and I've been a Mets fan ever since that day. And
Where's the yearbook now?
I don't know. I don't know. We've moved so many times. I don't know where. I don't know if I still have it. I don't know if I don't know, actually. But and the other thing that I remember is, you remember Grandpa in the back at the brownstone in Brooklyn, when you went out to the back, you had to go through the bedroom to get out to the back deck or to the bathroom, and Grandpa would always stay in bed when he was in bed, and he had a black transistor radio, the kind that had the antenna sticking up on the top that got AM radio.
Yep.
And
he
Grandpa
used to play that in the bed.
In the bed, and he was always listening to the Mets games on the transistor radio.
Yep.
Even when he moved
to
Scotia, he always had the Mets on the radio.
Yep.
So I just, you know, he didn't like the Yankees at all. He was not a Yankee fan. And he always listened to the Mets. And it just stuck with me, and I've been a Mets fan ever since then.
Yeah, I remember that. Every time you went outside or had to go to the bathroom, he always had that radio going.
Yep, all the time.
And you're right. He listened to the Mets.
He listened to the Mets. He didn't like the Yankees. Like you said, you know, he was a Dodgers fan, and when the Dodgers and Giants left, they were left with nothing until the Mets came along, and then he became a Mets fan, and that just got passed on to me. How William became
a
Yankee fan.
That was 1962.
I don't know how William became a Yankee fan, but I've been a Mets fan ever since. So that's why I like the Mets. And whether they win or lose, you know, Dad, you never see me without a Mets hat on, do you?
Oh, no.
I'll have a Mets shirt, a Mets hat, and the winter I have a Mets jacket. You always see me with my Mets gear. Whether they win, lose, or not, I'm always a Mets fan. And, you know, I was very down on the Mets today. I was very disappointed. I was very let down by these first two games, you know, which is understandable. But, you know, I think they're going to win. I really do.
No, but you're right, because as you know, I love football, and I love the Giants, and I've been a New York Giant fan since 1958. And through the years, the Giants, they've had their good years, and they've had their lean years. Most of them have been lean, but you got to stick with the team that you know, and it's the Giants. So
yeah,
I know exactly where you're coming from.
You have to, and as I said at the top of the show, there's been a lot more downs with the Mets than there have been ups, and that's why, you know, fans are so quick to be down, because the Mets haven't given us many opportunities to be up, and, you know, this is their chance to remedy all that, you know. You know, after all the things I mentioned on the show, you know, it's time It's time for them to break that mold and prove that they can get it done, you know, that they can take that final step. And even though a lot of people are dejected because they lost the first two games, you know what? Come back and prove it. Win the next three at home. And I know they can do it. If anybody can do it, it's the Mets. Win the next three games at home. Make that place shake. Bring the game back to Kansas City with all the pressure on Kansas City. You know, put the pressure on them.
Yep.
So that's my prediction.
Yep.
So we'll have to watch Friday night and see how it goes. But I think
tomorrow night we'll see.
So the nice lady is telling me that
TV tomorrow night.
We're down to 5 minutes left of the show, Dad. Can you believe it?
Oh, jeez. Boy, that time
goes
by
fast. An hour and a half went by already.
Time goes by fast.
An hour and a half. Wow. So we got to wrap up the show. So what do you think, Dad? One before we go, you think the Mets are going to make it? You think they got a shot?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree. They're going to take it. So, Dad, that's it. The lady's getting ready to throw me off. We're going to click, and we're going to be out of time. So I got to say thank you to Dan and thank you to Aunt Patty for spending some time with us and talking about the Mets. And thanks to you, Dad, for coming on and sharing your insights on Game 1 and 2 and your predictions for the rest of the series. And thanks to everybody who's tuned in and listening to us right now. And especially if you're listening to us after the fact, a lot of people download the shows and listen to them later. That's great. So thanks to you guys. And just remember, you heard it from me. Mets are going to win it. I said it.
Let's go, Mets.
Let's go, Mets. Thanks a lot, Dad. I'll talk to you after the game tomorrow. Have a good night.
Yep, you too. Good night.
Bye-bye.